Welcome to the Virtue Podcast. My name is Leah Case, and in this episode, we're talking about Session 8, Let Them Overcome. Well, we're halfway through Revelation, and every week there has been so much to see and hear and try to understand. It's been a lot to take in, hasn't it? A few months back, I met some friends for lunch. I'd never been to the restaurant, but I knew the mall where it was located. So I drove there, parked my car in a familiar spot, took a picture so I wouldn't forget, and fortunately, there was a kiosk with a mall map right there. You know those maps that show you are here, and then you can find your destination and the route to get there? Those are so helpful, right? So I located the restaurant, traced what looked like a straight path from where I was, and started walking that direction. But this particular mall is huge. It's a complex maze with side alleys and switchbacks. So what looked simple on the map was actually a series of twists and turns. It's easy to miss your turn and to get off course, and I did. But I kept walking. I kept an eye out for any landmark I could remember from that quick 45 seconds I took to study the map. But after 20 minutes, I realized I was walking in circles, and I had no idea if I was even close to my destination. So I called one of the friends I was meeting, and I kept walking. But now, phone up to my ear, I was really listening and looking for the signs. Oh, have you passed the theater yet? Oh, wait, do you see this store? If you're near the fountain, you've gone too far. Wait, I can see a cafe. Oh, good, you're close. I'm wearing an orange dress. Can you see me yet? Well, I finally reached my destination. Thank the Lord for girlfriends who are faithful to talk us through and help us get where we're going, right? That's one of the best blessings of being in a virtue group. And I am so grateful for the Bible-studying, God-honoring, people-loving women in my life. They inspire me. They encourage me. And they help me stay on course. Well, after lunch, I was sure I could retrace my steps minus all the twists and turns back to my car. But do you know, I ended up circling that entire mall again. Now, I gotta say, normally, I don't mind strolling the mall. And on the plus side, after that lengthy tour, I do have a better lay of the land for next time I go there. But on that particular day, it was all overwhelming. I was tired, confused by my surroundings, and I was just longing for home. Maybe that describes the way you're feeling right about now. I mean, with all the signs and future events we've been reading in these chapters, it can be so overwhelming just to think about it. And then there's the fatigue we're all feeling as we try to navigate this rapidly changing culture that we live in. The hurrier I go, the more behinder I get. So said Alice in Wonderland, and isn't that the truth? Eventually, I found my car. And it turns out I was parked less than 100 yards away. I was closer all along to my destination than I realized. I just couldn't see it yet. From where I was standing, it was around the corner, hidden from view. Now, here's the thing about those "you are here" spots on the map. It can identify where you are, but it won't get you where you're going until you start walking. And we walk by faith, not by sight. The good news is that heaven, our home, our destination, is closer than we realize. This week, our study guide does a really good job explaining how all the last day events fall into place. So rather than covering those, let's focus these few minutes we have together on what it means to overcome the enemy and how we can do that. So here, in no particular order, are some of my takeaways from this lesson. And the first one's on page 97. In the study book, conviction versus condemnation. Both are painful. Now, I've heard people try to explain the difference by saying, well, if it hurts or makes you feel bad, it's condemnation. But conviction does too. Hear me out. We know from Hebrews 4:16 that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Simply put, it cuts across the surface of our words and penetrates to the heart of the matter. God's Word shows us what's broken and what needs to change and what absolutely must go. C.S. Lewis illustrates conviction this way. It's like having a toothache. He wanted immediate relief, and he knew his mother would give him an aspirin, but she wouldn't stop there. She would take him to the dentist next morning, and the cure, well, was likely to get even more painful before it got better. But here's the thing. Conviction is God's tool to bring me to the cross. The first time we truly kneel at the cross is for salvation. When the gospel sinks in that God loves us and died for us, we openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. That transaction at the cross is one and done. But then, back to the cross we come, again and again, for the rest of our life. It's God's refining process. And the big word for that is sanctification, but the everyday word for that is change, growth, transformation from the inside out. Now, condemnation is Satan's tool to keep me from the cross. Satan wants you to think of God's grace like a game of musical chairs. We're just walking around through life, and every time trouble arises and the music stops, we scramble. And he wants you to think that God pulled the chair out. Oh, look, no more grace for you. Recently, I watched a movie about Paul the Apostle. Actually, it's the second time I've watched it. And there's a particular scene that really strikes me. Paul is in the prison in Rome. And every night, he has this recurring dream of being surrounded by men and women and children walking toward him. And their faces haunt him. These are the ones that he hunted down and harassed and sent to their death so many years ago. Every time he wakes in a cold sweat, pounding heart, tortured memory, and he sits up trembling and whispering, "Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient." To me, that's a powerful depiction of grace, of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our next takeaway is on page 99, and it's the believer's fight. Now, we were reminded that Satan can and will be defeated. And I hope you took time to read each piece of armor that we put on. I'd like to show you, though, what putting on that armor of God looks like in a practical application from Paul. And this is in 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 8. Now here, Paul describes what he is experiencing, but also declares what the enemy has failed to do. On the outside, he's facing opposition, but in his heart, there is no anguish. This is what he says. "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but never forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." You see, the enemy was trying to take him out, but Paul preached to himself, and so must we. This week, our memory verse is Romans 8:37. "Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours in Christ who loved us." Well, let me ask you, what are your these things right now? Whatever they are, that's your microphone to declare victory and overcome the darkness by the word of your testimony. Lord, help us to remember that our emotions don't get to rule our day when Christ rules our mind. Okay, one final illustration takeaway. And it's on page 95 in our lesson. Actually, it was the first question. If you were able to go to heaven for a moment and get a physical glimpse of what it's like, how would that impact your daily life, your priorities and motives and attitudes? Well, we could come up with a lot of different answers, right? Maybe you'd say, well, heaven would be more real to me and I'd want to go back. Or it would put life in perspective and change my priorities. Someone might say, well, I'd write a book. I'd make a movie. I'd market my story. No. But Paul did go to heaven and come back. And 2 Corinthians 12:7-9 tells us how he would answer this question. Read it for yourself. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. After letting it sink in, here's my paraphrase. I can't express what I experienced there, but I'm constantly reminded how weak I am. This life, it's full of insults and hardship, but God's grace is more than enough. Every time persecution and difficulty comes my way, God comes through, and I experience the full power of His strength, and I get a taste of being in His presence all over again. So yes, I will gladly choose that, hands down, every time. Friends, let's remind ourselves and each other that heaven is our destination, and it's closer than we realize. We walk by faith, not by sight. So remember, when it comes to Satan, remember he's defeated. And when it comes to Scripture, remember that it's alive and powerful. When it comes to sin and suffering, remember God's grace is sufficient. And when it comes to our Savior, remember He is victorious. God bless you.